So again, welcome to all of you. It's good to have you here, and it's especially good to have you five brothers from Team Challenge here, and we look forward to your presentation. Just before I call you up, let me give a little bit of an idea of how we're going to do the evening. These men will present to us for about 35, 40, 45 minutes or so, and after they have presented, there will be opportunity for some questions. They will engage you. You can ask them specific individuals or as a whole. We'll have a few minutes of questions. And then we will have an opportunity for an offering. The consistory has said when they come, we'd like to be able to hold that for them. So there will be an offering. And the checks, if you make a check, it can be made out to Team Challenge. And I think everyone has received envelopes, and you put the checks in the envelope. And even if you don't put them in the envelope, a check will still get you a charitable receipt. They'll take care of that from their end. Also, they did inform me that they have brought a debit machine in our cashless society and often checkless society. We don't carry those things around anymore. So if that's your situation, then there's an opportunity at the back table afterwards. If you want to give, you can do so by way of a debit machine. And then after the offering, we'll close up with a song and prayer, and then we'll leave. There's refreshments and coffee in the hall afterwards, opportunity to interact with these men before they leave again for home in London, and then the evening will be over. I think I've covered everything I had to cover from my end, and with that, I'd like to welcome up Mark and the team, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Good evening. I must admit, I'm pleasantly surprised when I thought I was going to Vineland on a Wednesday night. I wasn't expecting to see so many people, so God bless you guys. So Pastor Joel, thank you so much for having us here tonight and for the people who prepared the meal earlier. That was great. So, my name's Mark Thomas. I'm from Welland, Ontario, born and raised. I'm a graduate of the Teen Challenge program. I am not a pastor, not a preacher, but I love the Lord, and I love Teen Challenge, and I love how it really uses God to transform lives while the guys are in the program there. So, I want to start by just letting you know about addiction, right? Very rarely talked about, but there's some stats on the Teen Challenge Global website, which would state that every year, 3.5 million people die from drug or alcohol-related illnesses. So let me repeat that. 3.5 million people a year die from their addiction. So one is too many, 3.5 million is way too much. So Mike, I want to change slides there and just introduce you to some of the guys I brought tonight. So these are guys, ladies and gentlemen, who are currently in the Teen Challenge program. So Andrew, Ian, Gary, and Mike, why don't you stand and say hello? Why don't we give these guys a warm round of applause? Well, I got to watch that, eh? Yeah. Okay, so a bit about my story. That's day one of Teen Challenge for me, November of 2011. I know what you're thinking. Pretty handsome fella. Here's my journey. So what happened with me in my rock bottom moment was I ended up actually in a crack cocaine addiction, homeless in Barrie, Ontario, addicted to drugs and alcohol. I pretty much lost everything at this point. I didn't grow up Christian. I'd never been to church. I never picked up a Bible in my life. So there I was, summer of 2011, arrested again. This is what happened. So I was working at a nursing home. And there was a man dying of bone cancer. And I just want to tell you where addiction brings people. It's almost unbelievable that was my life. But I had a part-time job on a night shift as a personal support worker. So my job was to, you know, wake some residents up in the morning. And one gentleman in particular, you know, I'd get him bathed and clothed and fed and that sort of thing. And he used to love when I brought him across the street, put him in his chair, you know, for his Tim Hortons coffee. So what happened was, Gerald, his name was, he couldn't see the numbers on the bank machine, so I often had to withdraw money for him. So in that desperation, that rock bottom moment of addiction, where I'm like, where do I get money? I stole almost $5,000 from this man's account. That was Mark the Addict. So I was arrested shortly after, and I was brought to the Barrie police station on a promise to appear in court, and I was let go on a promise to appear in court. So this is how that day went. There I was on the 6 o'clock Barrie A Channel News. There was my picture. Mark Thomas, arrested for breach of trust and fraud. You know, it was the most mortifying thing that I've ever experienced. And it caught wind very quickly. So I had friends messaging me phone calls, social media, Facebook, that sort of thing, saying, you know, Mark, you're a disgusting human being. You're a monster. You know, we don't want to be your friend. You know, how could you do this? You're just a disgusting human being. That was hard. My mom. So any mothers out there, if you can imagine this, I'm the baby boy of the family. My mom catches wind on the radio coming home from work that night that I'd been arrested. And I remember like it was yesterday, she confronted me. She was very upset. She was screaming. She was crying. She was pounding her fist on the ground. And I remember she looked at me and she's just like, son, baby boy. She said, please tell me that this guy on the news isn't you. The pain and hurt in my mom's face in that very moment was my rock bottom. I shattered her heart. And here's the problem. I'd been to 9 other rehabs, been to jail, been to counseling, been to AA, been to AA. I honestly thought, folks, I was unfixable. That I was just going to live out the rest of my days as an addict, in and out of jail, you know, that sort of thing. But, praise the Lord, someone told me about Teen Challenge. So I reluctantly entered the program, November of 2011. No Bible in hand, had no interest at all in the faith-based component of the program. Just saw 1 year clean and sober. It's a 1 year program. It's going to be good enough. I'll be fine. But apparently God cannot be negotiated with, which is a wonderful thing. So there I was, month 3 of my program. Anyone heard of Promise Keepers Men's Ministry here? So awesome, awesome men's ministry. So there was a speaker at the end of the day, and I'm a huge sports fan. So go Leafs, go in Vineland. Is that how it works? Pretty much? Good. Anyway, so there was a video. So 1992 Barcelona Olympics, and I want you guys to check out this video. It's on YouTube. Just type in Derek Redmond 1992 Barcelona Olympics. So this video shows this runner named Derek, and he's in the 400 meters Barcelona Olympics, heavily, heavily favored to win the gold medal. So the race starts. Derek's breaking away from the pack. He's gonna achieve his dream of winning the gold medal. But about halfway through the race, Derek tears his hamstring, and he goes tumbling down to the track. And the camera shows Derek, and he's distraught. He's upset. His dream's over. But what happened next was absolutely life-changing for me. It was the first time I really felt God move. It's when I met Jesus. You guys remember the first time you met Christ, what that felt like? Here's my story. So Derek's dad, if you can imagine this, gets through Olympic security, runs up to his son who's fallen on the track, you know, picks him up, and they link arms, and they start hobbling down the track. And I'm tearing up. I'm like, wow, this is incredible. And then I swear, people, there was a message for me on the screen that says, Mark, trust in God. He will help you finish the race. And I got it. Jesus. He's the one. Right? So I'm thinking in my head in that very moment, why are you trying to fight addiction by yourself, Mark? Why are you so reluctant to God? He loves you. He forgives you. He will get you into sobriety. Not only that, just a much better way of life. And my favorite scripture, and it clicked in my brain right away, is Matthew 11:28, where Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That was it. I gave up. Jesus, you know, I'm sick of spinning my wheels. So I was saved that day, and praise God. You know, I remember walking out of that auditorium that day, and I felt different. I didn't know what it was, but I knew life would be different. So happy to announce, I'm over 5 years clean and sober now. I graduated the program. And married. Just got married this year. So that's what Teen Challenge can do. Taking a broken, shattered man. Homeless. Nothing going in life whatsoever. DUI. You know, and save me and show me a new life. That is the God I love. And that is the God we all serve, right? Grace. Grace and God's love. So that is a bit about me. There's my wife and my beautiful dog, Larry. Life is good. God is good. So next slide, please. So this is where we drove from tonight. This is London Teen Challenge. We call it the Teen Challenge Farm. And seeing that we're a Christian nonprofit organization, this picture was actually taken from our private helicopter. That's just a joke. You don't have a helicopter. But anyway, we're almost at capacity right now. We have 52 beds and we have 50 guys in the program right now. So pray for these guys, people. These are guys that are really pushing into the Word and digging in every day and asking God for their help. Like, God, I give up. It's a really amazing place. So next slide, please. We do have a women's center as well, and I'm not sure if you guys knew about this, but it's in Aurora, Ontario, just north of Toronto. So I challenge you with this. We have information at our table, right outside there, about our men's program and our women's program. So if you guys know anyone with a need, you know, don't be shy. Come grab a brochure. Come talk to us. And I promise you, God will put that brochure in the right hand. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. So please come chat with us after the service. We want to be of service to you guys. If there's any questions, you know, that's why we're here, right? Next slide. And across Canada, coast to coast, we have teen challenges. And I shared this at dinner. Worldwide, there's over 1,200 teen challenges in over 95 countries. And growing. Reason why it's growing and it's successful is Jesus. He is the cornerstone. Guys come to the program, we teach them Jesus for a year. They're up in the mornings at 6 o'clock, they're in devotions, they're praying. They go through classroom. It's half a day in the classroom. There's only one book we use. I'll let you guess what Bible, or what book that I just gave it away. They use the Bible. Right, so guys are doing scripture memory. They're reading the Bible every day. They're workbooks and Christian novels. So for 1 year, imagine that, people, every day for about 5 hours into the Word of God, you're going to see some wonderful things happen. Next slide. Technology's getting fancy. Do you guys see that? It's amazing. So without further ado, I'm going to call Ian up. So why don't we give him a little warm round of applause.
Good evening. It's an honor and privilege to be here today. As you can see the pictures up there, I didn't always look this handsome. I came in miserable and broken. And I'm 44 years old. I come from St. Catharines, Ontario. I was born and raised in London. My addiction started at the age of 5 when I started stealing cigarettes from my mom. By the age of 9, I was introduced to pornography. By the age of 11, I was stealing alcohol from the home. I come from a non-Christian home, but a broken home. I grew up without a father figure my whole life. At this time, I was living in Welland, Ontario. It wasn't long after I started stealing alcohol from the home that I started experimenting with drugs just to try to fit in, because I was always picked on. I was always bullied in school. So I needed to man up and learn more about how to live a hardier lifestyle. It wasn't long before I had a criminal record, even as a youth. We moved away to Brockville at the age of 16. At this time of my life, I was taught at an early age to run away from my problems. It's easier to run away than to face them. Living in Brockville wasn't easy. I found out how to manipulate my family to get what I wanted. I ended up dropping out of high school at the age of 17. At the age of 19, my life would take a turn for the worst. Not only did I get a criminal record as an adult, but I got sexually abused by another male. It wasn't long after this that I got introduced to cocaine. I was doing so much cocaine that it was hurting my nose, causing it to bleed, that I had to experiment with it, and I found which later became my best friend, was crack cocaine. I struggled with a crack cocaine addiction for over 20 years. I was in and out of jails. I was stealing to get high. I stole from my grandparents, stole from family, stole from my sister. I did whatever I could to get high. I even stole from the government. That's just where the drugs took me. I was 38 years old, sitting on a park bench in St. Catharines, getting high, when I heard this voice tell me I don't have to live like this. There's a better way to live. I threw my drugs in the garbage and I marched down to the homeless shelter where I was staying, the Salvation Army, and went to my first treatment center. It was a faith-based. Didn't really put 100% into the program. Managed to stay sober for 21 months, the longest I've ever had. Met the love of my life, got married at the age of 39. It wasn't long after I got married that I went back into my addiction. It was 3 months later. It was shortly after I lost my grandfather. And it's all because I didn't give my life to Christ. I didn't learn. And I struggled for the next 4 years. Last Christmas, I was sitting in another homeless shelter at Southridge. Knew where I didn't belong. I knew I belonged at home with my lovely wife. And started going to church again. And something came over me. That seed grew that I needed to go to Teen Challenge. I knew a couple friends that went there. I know a pastor that's affiliated in the Teen Challenge. And that's how the seed was planted. So I applied. Through the grace of God, I was in Teen Challenge in 2 weeks. That's fast. I hear guys being on a waiting list for months before getting into that program. And God opened up the door. My intake date was January 31st. I am now 10 months into the program. My graduation date is January 12th of next year. Since being at Teen Challenge, I have given my life to Christ. I actually call Teen Challenge a low-income Bible college because I didn't learn nothing about my addiction, but I can tell you I learned a lot about the Bible. I learned how to memorize verses. I've learned how to be a disciple. And I got a chance to go out and evangelize in London, a couple different opportunities. I've been baptized since I've been in the Teen Challenge. I was baptized April 22nd, I think, or April 21st of this year, something like that. So, it's not an easy program. It's been tough, but you have to commit and surrender. The hardest part for me being at Teen Challenge was watching three brothers pass away. One was graduated in 2006. He was one of the ones that planted the seed. But two of my brothers left the program early and now are no longer with us. That was tough to see. That was tough to hear. Wasn't the easiest thing. And that's reality, though. That just shows me that if you're not willing to commit to the program and surrender, that's what can happen to me. I've wanted to leave a few times. I thank God that I haven't, because I would probably be dead if I didn't. And, it's a great place. When I graduate, I want to keep ties in the Teen Challenge. I want to go back and volunteer. I want to be that inspiration like my brothers were to me, like Marky T is to me. Somebody who's actually been through the program, done the hard work, and now is giving his life testimony each and every day to young guys coming into the program, and that's what I want to do. Because it does save lives. It's restored my wife and my relationship. We're moving to London after I'm done. It's restored my dad's, my biological father's relationship. He's back in my life today after 43 years of not seeing him. Then that's God. That's what God does. With them kind words, I'm going to leave you with a scripture. It means a lot to me. It was the first one, well, the second one that I've learned. And it's Romans 5, 1-5. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems, for we know they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And hope will not lead us to disappointment, for we know how God dearly loves us, that He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Thank you for letting me share.
Good job, buddy. Nice. All right, next slide, please. So I'm just going to call, I think it's Mike and Andrew up. Sorry, Andrew and Gary. They're going to do a short Q&A. So you'll have an opportunity after as well, people. If you have questions that are on your heart and you want to talk to us about, you know, addiction or the program, that would be good. So Andrew and Gary, why don't you tell these people how old you are and maybe where you're from?
My name's Andrew. I'm 30 years old. I'm from Kitchener, and I'm the 6 months of my program.
My name is Gary. I'm 45, and I'm from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. I'm in my fourth month of a refresher program.
Awesome. So, guys, there's always that rock bottom moment, right, where we understand that, you know what, this is hopeless on our own. What was that moment for you guys that, you know, kind of made you realize, I need to go to Teen Challenge for 1 year? What happened?
For me, I had a very successful business. With that came a cocaine addiction. I lost everything, my home, my business. Hit rock bottom, but I was able to build myself up again. I met a woman who I fell in love with. She passed away from cancer, and I just gave up on everything. I had nothing left in me. Picked up the bottle, and I started drinking, and I was heading into a very bad place. So I entered the program, and I graduated. That was over a year ago, but things were a little tough, so I decided to come to beautiful Ontario to do a six-month refresher.
Thanks, Gary. How about you, Andrew?
Well, turned 19, was able to drink and go to the bars, and that's the way I connected with my friends, and every outing seemed to, you know, involve alcohol of some sort. And as I went through college and university, that continued on and into my career. And became to the point where when I tried to stop on my own, the chemical dependency I developed on alcohol was so strong that it developed a severe generalized anxiety that was debilitating, and I couldn't really cope with it because of the stress. So I had to take some time off from work, and it was in that time off from work that it was mentioned to me about Teen Challenge, and I knew a month-long or, you know, week-long program wasn't going to cut it. I needed a year-long faith-based program to tear down the walls of habit I had developed and, you know, start afresh on a godly foundation.
And when did you enter the program, Andrew?
May 16th.
Yourself, Gary?
I entered July 18th.
Right on. And what I'm curious about, and I'm sure these people are wondering as well, is how is God restoring your life? Since you came to Teen Challenge, what's happening?
I'll start with deciding to come here. After I left Teen Challenge the first time, I relapsed is what happened. And then I was in a pretty bad place again. I was contemplating suicide one night when out of the blue, I got a text message from a sponsor that I had from my previous program. She simply asked, Gary, the Holy Spirit told me to pray for you tonight. Is everything okay? And right there, that spot, I knew that God was not done with me, and He will never, ever, ever give up on me. So what God is doing now is just proving that every single day, is that He's always with me, and He just won't ever give up on me.
Amen to that. Andrew, how are things going for you in the program?
God revealed Himself to me immediately when I entered the program. The littlest things, I knew it wasn't a coincidence, that only God could have made those things happened. It was just a complete submission to Him that, you know, I've been fighting Him for a while, and I just refused to give in. I wanted to do it on my own strength, and I had such a deep pit of despair that I was so desperately trying to fill with drugs and alcohol that it wasn't until I gave it up to God to just let Him move in my life. And, you know, it's His understanding of me and who I am is completely overwhelming, but it's whatever happens, so the good or the bad, I know it's He has my best interests in mind, and it's completely transformed my program going forward to see it through. Just giving me a joy in life, and I look forward to seeing the next day.
Awesome. Aren't these guys incredible? It's so inspiring. Let's give them a round of applause. So cool. I have the utmost blessing of having front row seats every day watching God work in these guys' lives, like putting the broken pieces back together. And these weren't the same guys a few months ago, I tell you that much. So praise God for that. And Gary, maybe do you want to share a scripture with the folks here, maybe something that's inspired you thus far in the program?
Ecclesiastes 3:10-11. I've seen the burden that God has placed on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has also placed eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what he's done from beginning to the end.
Awesome. How about you, Andrew? You got a scripture you want to share tonight?
Proverbs 20:24. The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? Also, Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, where we can find grace and mercy when we need it most.
Thanks, guys. You can sit down. And last but not least, Mike, come share your story, and then we'll do some closing remarks, I guess.
Thank you. I'm just going to open up with a word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for bringing us out here tonight. Thank you for the traveling mercies, and thank you for the delicious meal that we ate before. I just want to pray that you be with my words right now as I share my story and share what you're doing in my life. Most of all, I pray that your will be done, nothing more, nothing less. Pray this in your Son's precious and holy name, amen. So as Mark said, my name's Mike. I'm 24 years old. I'm born and raised Oshawa, Durham region area. I was born in a Christian home, great family. You know, there's nothing wrong with my family whatsoever. You know, I'm finding there's this misconception that a lot of guys who struggle with addiction come from broken families, and that's completely untrue. Majority of the guys right now at the farm are actually, you know, come from a Christian background, come from a healthy background, and we've strayed off, and that's my story, right? So every Sunday, I always felt like it was kind of a chore to wake up and go to church. You know, I'd hit 10 years old, and I felt like I was supposed to sleep in and not wake up at 7 a.m., put my church clothes on. And so by the time I was like 13 and I could actually start making decisions for myself and actually say no to my parents, that's when I stopped going to church. And that was kind of the beginning of my downward spiral, even though I didn't realize it yet. I had also worked at a Bible camp called Fair Havens up in Beaverton, Ontario, and that's kind of where my career as a professionally trained chef started. So I worked there in the kitchen, also led worship, and it's kind of my spark for being on stage and being involved with music kind of ignited, and I took that and ran with it. I started when I was 16. I quit all ties with the camp. I stopped going to church whatsoever, and I started DJing 19-plus clubs. I would be doing 3 shows a week in front of 500 to 10,000 people all across Canada. And, you know, with this, a lot of money came with it. I was large amounts of money, large amounts of drugs, large amounts of alcohol. I want to say I had the Canadian dream, but no, it's not really it. I was, in my mind, I was living really well. I was succeeding. I was a success. At that point, I was making around the same amount as my parents in salary-wise, and in 3 months. But that led to a lot of drugs, a lot of cocaine, a lot of alcohol, and a lot of unhappiness. At that time I really started to realize that I love being the center of attention, and I still struggle with that on a daily basis. I'm that class clown. I'm that guy who always wants to get that last laugh, that funny comment, in that smart remark, and just make other people sound like idiots. But, you know, God's been working a lot in my life. It's a year ago today when I really started the turnaround process. But if you had met me a year ago, you'd even see a different person than the guy up on the left there. So it was October last year. I got caught for a DUI. I was working as a chef downtown Toronto at Mill Street, sous chef there. I was, I'd use all day, get high all day, DJ all night, drink all night. But there was one shift where I got really intoxicated afterwards. I was really high driving, and I decided to drive home. And I got pulled over for a DUI. And at this point, I decided to hide that from my parents, who I was still living with. And I got 6 months down the road, keeping it hidden. They had no idea. When they found out my car was in the impound, I came up with another excuse, which made me realize that I'm very manipulating. And I'm really good with my words to get out of certain things. And I especially being at the program, I've realized this ain't good. I was very good at getting out of consequences and avoiding consequences and, doing things that I wanted to, even though the consequences were there. But as soon as I was approached about doing these things, I was able to get out of it just by talking and coming up with other stories. So my parents eventually found out that I got the DUI by getting a letter in the mail from my probation officer, because I, at that time, I also got charged for possession of cocaine, because I was dealing to a lot of friends. And, that's when I realized my other addiction with money and wanting to just always have more of everything, always have more of everything. And so when my parents finally found out, I went on this week-long binge. I didn't talk to anyone. Well, I didn't talk to my parents. I talked to a lot of other people, but my parents were down in Boston. I was completely ignoring them. They texted me saying they found out, shut my phone off, just, they're going to shun and ridicule me for this. And it was kind of the same way I thought about the church at that time. It's like, okay, no one can help me. I might as well just keep going down on this path. But it was the Saturday night at the end of that week, I was in Toronto. A drug deal went wrong. I ended up having a gun to my head, robbed for everything that I had. And I went home, got some more cocaine, got really high, and 9 o'clock on Sunday morning comes, and the feeling everyone in that position got would be the feeling I got to go to church. It's supposed to be funny, but I guess not. Because not everyone gets the feeling after when they're really high to go to church. But so I got that feeling. I go to church, walk 3 kilometers, just think nothing of it. I don't remember anything from the service except the fact that I was there. I sat in like the very, very back corner, just in this hoodies, track pants. Didn't fit in whatsoever. And I still remember the one pastor coming up and talking with me, and I'm just avoiding him like the white plague. But I get home, crash on my couch. My parents come home from Boston, and I remember waking up, and my mom's hovering over top of me, bawling her eyes out, shaking me to make sure I'm alive. And I finally wake up, and she just gives me the biggest hug. And she looks over on the coffee table and sees the bulletin for this for the church service. And she looks at me and she's like, "No way, you went to church. Your father and I were praying last night that you would go to church if you were some way, shape, alive." And so that's when I really realized my first encounter with God. And from there, that was the start of the upward spiral, if that's a thing. So I started my process of applying to Teen Challenge, and in the last 10 months, God has worked in so many ways that I never would have thought would have happened. And it's insane, because this time last year, I never would have thought that I'd be standing right here in front of a church telling my story, and let alone the fact that I was going to be changing. This past weekend, I had the opportunity to go back to that church that I went to in the midst of my intoxication and lead worship and share my testimony with them. And that was crazy, because I get these couples that were coming up to me after, and they're like, "This is the first time we've come to this church, and it's kind of weird because our son is battling with addiction, and just so happens that Teen Challenge is here sharing. You know, and it's seeing God in all these different spots, and it's insane. Like especially in these last 4 months, the amount of lessons God's thrown at me is crazy. You know, learning about my being manipulative, finally learning consequences, and going through some of those. I led worship at the farm, and I got taken off that because of something I did. You know, at first I could have been, okay, this isn't fair whatsoever, but, I'm looking at it now, and I'm actually facing consequences, and it's kind of cool to experience. You know, it's not something normally you'd say, but, I'm glad I'm realizing that now, and going through all this now, while in the program, while in this closed, confined space where I can learn these lessons, I can take these and run with them, I can learn all these things. And, Hebrews 12:6 says, the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. And it's true. You know, my dad always said to me growing up, don't get mad at me when I'm harping at you. Be worried when I stop, because that's when I've stopped caring. And I've realized that's the one thing with God, is God's never going to stop caring. He's always going to be there to love you, always going to be there to discipline you. And so when that discipline comes, think why. And that's what I've been looking at. And, one brother who didn't actually finish the program, probably in my third month, he says to me, if you look at every situation that you go through, whether it's supposed to happen, whether you think it's the right thing, but if you look at it in the terms of where's the lesson I can learn from it, you're going to do well, Mike. And so that I've taken that little piece of advice and ran with it as well. So, I'm going into my 10th month as of next week, and I'm in the mindset of, God, show me the other lessons you need to teach me before I'm done. Because with the amount that I've changed in this last 10 months, I know I got a lot more to go. And 6 months ago, if you would ask me, I said, okay, yeah, I'm ready to go. But now it's like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this in 3.5 months. I got a lot more to learn. But, just leave you with Psalms 94, verse 17. It says, unless the Lord had helped me, I soon would have settled in the silence of the grave. I cried out, I am slipping, but your unfailing love, O Lord, has supported me. So thank you guys for letting me share, and it's an honor to be able to share with you guys.
All right, Mike, let's hit the next PowerPoint slide there. All right, so Restored Families, we do graduation at the end of the program, and it's awesome. You get to meet the families and watch that restoration. I remember one guy in particular. His name was Renee. And I never got to know Renee's family, but on his graduation night, his two little girls, ages 5 and 3, were just bear hugging his leg, right? Like, Daddy, don't let me go. And not only these guys are healing people, their families are healing in a massive way. So the restoration is incredible. Mike, next slide. I just want to say this. You've heard the stories tonight. You've heard about, God working in these guys' life, and that's only because of one reason. That's Jesus. He is the one who's able and wanting to change lives. And that is what we teach the guys day in, day out, right? It's about that authentic personal relationship with God. That's what's going to really change your life, right? So that's the truth for all of us. Amen. Okay. Next slide, please. So, ways to get involved. We do events throughout the year. We do a whole bunch of events. Our next one's called Home for Christmas, which is our men's choir and our women's choir singing Christmas songs. I guess closest to here is in Cambridge. So if you want to check out an event, this is a really cool one. Next slide. Who's heard of our Donate a Car program? Yeah, there you go. We get a lot of cars, between 3,000 and 4,000 cars donated per year at our London Center. So if you have that old Astro minivan or that old Chevette in the driveway, give us a call. So what we do is we give you a tax receipt, and we come with our flatbed truck. We pick up your car. We take it away. And I should mention this as well. There's actually room for 2 cars on our flatbed, so we'll take your new Mercedes-Benz as well while we're there, right? Just kidding. Amen. So that's one way of getting involved. Next slide. This is the big one. This is really the heartbeat of our ministry. It's people who sponsor students in the program. And I just want to show you real quickly here. You have an opportunity tonight to sponsor one of our guys. So let me just tell you a quick story to close. And let's just go like this. So let's just say Lake Ontario, right over there. So from Lake Ontario in Vineland all the way up till Toronto, there's a bunch of starfish washed up on the shore. I know it's a little far-fetched, but hang with me here. Okay, so there's this little boy who sees all these starfish washed up on the beach. So he's walking up and down the beach and he's grabbing a starfish, throwing it back in the water. Grabbing a starfish, throwing it back in the water. There's this old kind of cynical, grumpy man kind of watching the kid. So walks up to the child and says, son, there's miles and miles and miles of starfish up the beach. There's absolutely no way you can save all those starfish. What are you doing? So the kid looks at the guy, picks up a starfish, and throws it back in the water and says, but sir, I just saved that one. I just helped that one. So, one at a time, people. That's what we can do. That's what we're focused on. It's the 50 guys in the program. These are the lives we're focused on right now. So if you want an opportunity to partner up with Teen Challenge on a monthly basis, this is an incredible opportunity. So it's $40 a month. Everyone got a brochure. So that's, let's see, that's the price of what? One Tim Hortons a day? Or one Starbucks a month? You can sponsor a guy. And I'll be honest, people, pray for us. That's the biggest gift you can give us is keep us up in your prayer. Pray for us, youth, you guys too. Pray for us as individuals that we stay on that right path, and pray for us as a ministry that we keep helping, you know, men and women overcome addictions, right? That's what we do. So with that, I am done. So I will call Pastor Joel up to close. But God bless you guys. Can I be one of the first to wish you guys a Merry Christmas? Is it too early for that? So God bless you guys. Thanks for letting us share tonight. I appreciate it. Before we close, we want to just give an opportunity for any questions or feedback from anyone in the audience. And you can ask the question to Mark or to any of the men who spoke. Is there anyone who would like to ask a question or two? Feel free. Way in the back, Trevor. Nice and loud.
You guys said that you study Bible 5 hours a day.
Correct. So what we do is for half the day, the way it's broken up is half the day they're in education, so they're in the classroom. Right, so what they do is called the Personal Academic Christian Education Contract, PACE contract. So they're given workbooks. So yeah, all throughout half the day they're going through their workbooks and reciting scripture, memorizing scripture, that sort of thing. So yeah, they're in the Word about 4 or 5 hours a day. Does that answer your question or?
Kind of. I just wondering what do they do for the rest of the day?
Okay. What do you guys do for the rest of the day?
We do work therapy. Which means either we'll work at the vehicle donation place, we do laundry, janitorial services, or we even take care of our own grounds. And, of course, we cook our own meals. So either they're the spots that you work in for the rest of the day.
Yeah, so we're in the classroom half the day, and then they're working the other half of the day. So that's kind of how the day looks. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Why is it called Teen Challenge? Rarely met a teen.
Here's the truth. We're actually all 19 years old, and this is what drugs and alcohol have done to us. Just kidding. So we have books at the back called The Cross and the Switchblade, which tells the story of Teen Challenge. So the reason we're called Teen Challenge was back in the 1950s, a small Pennsylvania pastor named David Wilkerson. Some of you might age yourself here, but how many people have heard of David Wilkerson? He heard the calling from God to go to New York City to minister to some youth who were actually on trial for murder. So when he was in New York City, he realized in that city that within the teenage demographic, there was a huge problem with heroin. So the first center that was opened was actually for teens, called Teen Challenge. And the reason it's still called Teen Challenge is because it's recognized. So you know, the brand and the name, it's just people recognize it. But, yeah, we're 18 plus in Canada to be enrolled a Teen Challenge, so. Yes?
Once
So the program's broken up into three different phases. Your last 4 months is what we call the transition phase. So in that last 4 months, they're counselors. We have three Christian counselors on site who work there. So they're helping you plan your exit. So where are you going to live? What church are you going to go to? What else, guys? There's a coach helped you with the last phase. Where are you going to work? That sort of thing. And here's the thing. If they're not happy with your exit plan, they'll actually even hold you back a month until they're prepared. And Gary is about to embark on what we call a phase four internship. So after they're done the year, they can actually stay up to an extra year. Age, right? So I actually stayed for 2 years, which was awesome. So also too, we're tight knit. So we, through social media and different events and stuff, we all stay connected. And these guys will probably agree, it's like a brotherhood, right? It's brothers in Christ, and leave no man behind mentality. And we love each other, and we want each other to succeed. So.
And just to let you know, also my coach, because I'm moving to London, I know my old behavior. So we have Celebrate Recovery as well in London. So in January, they're letting me go off property with one of the Celebrate Recovery guys so I can get reunited so I don't let any of Satan haunt me or anything like that. So that's also what kind of things they do for you. So they're not just letting you go out there and failing again, right, or falling. They're actually looking out for our needs. So,
great question. Anyone else want to? Yeah, ma'am? Depends. So a lot of guys, the first step is the application process. So a lot of guys get to that point, right? Well, they'll do the application, then they'll stop, right? They'll have second thoughts or, because with the application, then you have to do paperwork. You have to go get a medical record check, a police records check, and it's tough to commit to a year. So if a guy really wants to get in the program and he does his Monday check-ins, you have to call every Monday while you're on the waiting list and how you're doing, that sort of thing. If you're really serious about coming in, they'll find a bed with you, a couple weeks up to maybe a month would be my best guess. So,
the application process, it can be somewhat lengthy, but at the same time, I know for me, it probably worked out to be a month and a half, but that month and a half was really time that made me realize that I actually wanted to change. I actually wanted to deal with things. Whereas if I got in right away, it wouldn't have clicked in my head that, okay, this is something I got to do. It would have been just like, okay, this was a quick fix, but I actually had to dwell on that thought and dwell on everything for a month and a half, right? So.
Yeah, I just thought I'd mention too, because we're a charity, we only charge the guys a one-time fee of $1,000 when they enter the program. That's it. So do the math, $1,000 for a whole year for your rehab program where they feed you, they house you, they drive you to appointments, they have counselors. It's a blessing. And it's absolutely incredible that the body of Christ, people like you, keep this place sustained and thriving. It's amazing. I've done other government-run programs, and it's tens of thousands of dollars. It's pretty crazy. So it's a wonderful place. Ma'am?
Is there any contact with family members during that year?
Yes. I guess short answer would be twice a week you're allowed phone calls to your family. Now, there's an approved list. You can't just go on and randomly call someone. There's a short list of people you can call, family members, not even girlfriends. So say you come in with a girlfriend, no, can't call them. So, yes, and the first Saturday of every month for 4 hours, we have visit day. So families can come to the farm and spend some hours with their loved ones. And once you get further along in the program, you get passes off-site. So 5 months in, you get a six-hour pass. 7 months, you get a 12-hour pass. Then your last 4 months, you get a weekend pass each month. So not a lot of contact, really, but some, yes. Yes? Awesome question. So I'm actually going to get Gary to answer first, and we'll just pass the mic down. How does that sound? So something short, and what would you say?
I would say just trust in the loved ones that are trying to reach out to you. So many times we just shut everybody out, but I'd say just trust.
For me, it's the other brothers around me. Because we've all come from this, pretty much the same background and have the same struggles, which is unique to ourselves, we know that they understand where we're coming from, and if you do surround yourself with strong brothers that share your like-mindedness, you're able to build each other up and encourage you to think positively about the future of sobriety and, and what, that there was no hope and there was nothing good that came from the addiction prior to going into Teen Challenge.
Tough question, but I'd say you just have to listen to the experience of your brothers or even of your loved ones, and just listen to the cry that they're crying out to help you to get better. And that's what it boils down to. And, you also have to want it. You can't go into a program and do it because my mom said, or because my wife's, I need to get my wife back, so I need to go and get help. If you're doing it for them, you're doing it for the wrong reasons, because it'll never work. You have to do it for yourself first and foremost. And then it'll work 100%.
Absolutely. So I'm going to directly be talking to the youth here, right? I grew up good in sports, good in school, never got in trouble. So addiction and that lifestyle was never supposed to be part of my life, right? So the best advice I would give you guys is it's going to happen eventually where someone's going to say, here, have a drink or do this, right? You just have to say no. So from my experience, what I've been through, the road to addiction, whatever goals you have in life, I wanted to be married, I wanted a job, I wanted to go on trips. If you're in that lifestyle in addiction, there's 0% chance, guys, that you're going to achieve your goals and dreams. So sober, in Christ, staying on that path, I will say 100%, guys, you're going to achieve your goals and dreams. And there, it's a road to nowhere, guys. There's absolutely nothing good about that lifestyle. It's not cool. It's not cool at all. It robs, it steals. It's not fun after a while. So, best advice for the young ones was, focus on God. That's very important, right? Yep. And just enjoy life. You don't need that stuff, right? So, stay far, far away, right? It's actually cool not to do that kind of stuff.
I actually got to speak some of this advice into a young man's life this weekend, but the first thing I said to him was, I grew up with this whole, don't do drugs, don't do drugs. But, look at me, that didn't work. I'm here in rehab, but the best advice that I kind of wish was spoken to me was, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter where you plan to go, but we're all equal in God's eyes. I think in Romans 3:23 says, "For we've all sinned and all fall short of the glory of God." And that just puts us all on the same page, the same playing field, and just knowing that your loved ones are always going to be there. They're always going to be in support of you, always going to love you no matter what you've done. And that's the same way, same thing with God. So knowing that whatever you've done, it doesn't matter. You can still come to God with that. You can still repent of whatever you've done. It doesn't matter. The last thing you want to be saying to anyone is just don't do drugs. There's always going to be that curiosity, but telling them what to do if they actually do it, it doesn't matter that they do it. It matters that they're coming back to God.
Yeah, and what I'd say to the young ones, just real quick, is there's only one chance in life, right? You only get one chance. Although it's eternal life, your time here on earth, don't waste it. It's not worth it, right? So, so that's what we'll say. Any other questions, or Pastor Joel?
I think that's a good a good way to finish. Perfect. You're going to stick around for a while after, right? So we have...
With the promise of cookies, we'll stay till tomorrow. Yes, yes. That's...
And there are lots of cookies. Yeah. So, thank you on behalf of all of us. Or just maybe show our appreciation again. And... I think if at this time you can be seated, we'll have an offering. Again, reminding of the writing out the checks, if we do checks to Teen Challenge. And we'll just take up the offering for a moment, and then we'll sing afterwards from Psalter number. So. So that while the offering is being collected, you can turn to number 319. 319. And let me say to the five of you men, it's been really good for us to have you. And I think of words that we read at the start where it says, but God. And I think each one of you in different ways testified to that. You were doing your thing. You were living your life. You were in the snare of Satan, right? You were under wrath. And yet God came and in various ways awoke you to your need, awoke you to himself, and brought you to a place where you're being helped and discipled. And we're very grateful for that. And the words we're going to sing after the offering from Psalm 118 also speak of what says at the top, deliverance and victory. In bondage, stanza 3 says, in bondage of distress and grief, to God I cried and sought relief. In wondrous love he heard my plea and set my soul at liberty. And that's the testimony of every Christian, isn't it? Every Christian here also. And it's what will unite us around the throne of the Lamb in the last day and the eternal day. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain and has redeemed us to God by his blood. So in a moment we'll sing from 319 and then I'll lead in closing prayer and then we will be dismissed. Thank you again all for coming. And do feel free to stay after and join us for fellowship and to interact with these five brothers. All right, let's sing. Let us pray together. Gracious and good doing God, we give thanks for this time we could spend together and hear from these five brothers the story of your grace in their life. What dark places they came to, what snares of Satan and sin encircled them and trapped them to the point even of hitting, as they said, rock bottom and coming even close to death. And Lord, it is exactly like we read in your word at the start of the evening, dead in sins and trespasses. But God, when we were such, made us alive together in Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Therein to show also the exceeding riches of his grace. Help, Lord, that to be the great theme also of our reflection and our response to what we have heard tonight. How great is our God. How great is his grace. How far down he can reach, and how almighty is his transforming salvation. We pray, Lord, that you would bless each one who has shared this evening. We commend them to you, that you would remember them and go with them further, with Andrew and with Gary, with Ian, with Mike and with Mark. Whatever stage in the program or now out of the program they are in or going back again for a refresher, we pray that you would be with them day by day, that they may experience what we could just sing also, that the Lord at their side is the way they also win the victory over the hosts of sin. Encourage them when they may be tempted to discouragement. Lord, lift them up when they are afraid, when they are afraid also for the future, when they are afflicted by doubts or when they find temptation coming at them again. Strengthen them, uphold them, and keep them. And we pray that you would also be with the whole ministry of Team Challenge. And we pray that Christ may ever serve as the foundation and the focus of the work that goes on. And that would please you to continue to rescue those who are in bondage, both in London and in every other location where this ministry is situated and is operating. We thank you for it. We pray that you would bless the offering that was taken just now, and that you would also provide for the continued support of this work, that you would hear our prayers, and that you would continue to sustain this ministry. We pray, Lord, that you would bless our fellowship yet later in the evening, and then also the traveling to our homes. We pray, Lord, if it's long or short, that you would watch over us and keep us. And bless to all of us here, whatever our situation may be in life. If we are struggling, if we are feeling lost, if we feel like we are at the end of our situation and we don't know where to turn, we pray that the encouragement of this evening may also penetrate and that we may look to you. We pray too for the younger ones among us, that they would heed the counsel and wisdom that comes also from those who have learned, we might say, the hard way. We pray that they would learn also to be kept from having to learn the hard way. And if it should be, Lord, that they still must learn, that you would still work and remember your covenant, guarding them and bringing them back to you. Oh, hear our prayer and remember us further. We confess our dependence upon you and our praise of you, the great God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming and have a good evening.